Superstar, do you think you're what they say you are? Ricky Lee, superstar, do you think you're what they say you are? It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Now playing at the Marriott Theatre in Lincolnshire is the fun-filled rock and roll musical Grease. From the Marriott production of Grease, joining us today on the program is Broadway star Jimmy Nicholas. Welcome to the show, Jimmy.
Hi, good to be here.
Now, Jimmy, Grease marks your Marriott debut, but you actually hail from the suburbs of Chicago, so this is a bit of a homecoming for you, if I understand.
Yeah, it totally is. It's been really special to get to come home after a while. I think it's been maybe 8 or 9 years since I've done a show around here. So when I got the call that I was doing it, I was really excited to be able to do a show really close to my hometown.
Now, I'm good friends with Roger Zawacki, who was your theater director in high school.
Yes, of course. The man.
Wacky Zawacki. Now, you've gone on to some great success in New York, but how did your high school drama program prepare you to venture into an actual career in show business?
Yeah, you know, I think really everything that happened at Johnsburg High School, specifically with my training and my understanding of theater as an art form, was critical to really not only my success, or limited success, I guess you could say, but just my overall love for theater, and really convincing me that this could be a profession that I pursued. And Roger Zawacki, and then also Paul Hanrahan, who helped him out in the program, really cultivated a love for acting within me. I think I'd have been performing in shows since I was 8. My mom directs shows. My mom's from the business. She did musicals for a long time, and I had a love for the stage. I had a love for musicals and showmanship. But really, from the moment that I got to Johnsburg High School, Paul and Roger really instilled in me this kind of curiosity for really grounded acting, specifically, and storytelling. And that kind of took me over like a fever, and I loved the idea of how we can tell stories to relate to people, and what a wonderful joy that is. And that was something that then I was like, I want to continue to study this, and so I want to go into this in college. And I talked to Roger about it all the time, but they really started to challenge me to really try to find real moments on stage and not just kind of that frosting, you know, showmanship that musicals sometimes can be, where it's just, you know, all about, you know, hitting the notes and being wild and crazy, but really trying to ground myself in telling stories about real people, whether that's through musicals or plays. And that was a big, big part of my journey, and something I'm incredibly thankful for.
Now, you've appeared on Broadway as Elder Price in The Book of Mormon. Can you walk us through how you went from suburban Chicago kid to Broadway leading man?
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of blessings, a lot of, I like to think that I won the lottery of sorts. So a lot of seniors, you know, in high school, and I work with a lot of students, so I still am very familiar with this process, but you kind of decide, like, okay, musicals and acting is something I'm interested in. Where do I go next? So you audition for schools, and it's a very, very rigorous process. I'm not sure how much people know about that process, but it's similar to trying to get to a school for collegiate sports,
right,
where you, instead of being recruited, you go and audition. But, you know, you're auditioning for programs, for BFA programs, and it's a very, very selective process. Most schools will accept anywhere from 5% to 20% of applicants, and it's really, really rigorous. Luckily for me, I got accepted to Carnegie Mellon, and at Carnegie we accept about 2% of applicants.
Wow.
It's a kind of when it happened, I couldn't believe it. Luckily for me, a friend of mine from high school had gotten into Carnegie the year before, which is crazy when you think about the numbers, because, you know, Carnegie will have 1,800 kids audition and they'll take about 25.
Wow.
So the fact that I knew someone the year above me was also crazy. But when that happened, I knew if the money worked out and if the financial aid and scholarships added up, that's where I had to be. And thankfully, they were able to offer me a really good scholarship. And I got to go to Pittsburgh to study at my dream school. That was the bridge for me that led to me being able to turn this dream that I had of turning this hobby into my profession and being with the professors that could give me the tools to find a lifelong career in acting. I had a great 4 years at Carnegie, met my best friends, the people that I love in this world more than anything, so many of my closest friends. And then at school, had lots of good opportunities, was able to join SAG because I worked on a few movies, and was able to join Equity, the stage union, as well. And then Carnegie does a really good job of, when you graduate, they do a showcase in New York and L.A. where you perform scenes and songs for casting directors and agents and managers. And the showcase works as a sort of diving board into the industry. And I was blessed enough to get a manager and an agent out of showcase. And then you're just auditioning and, you know, you're trying to figure it out. There's a lot of ups and downs, you know, good days and bad days. a lot of no thank yous in audition rooms. But it led to the Book of Mormon and a lot of other really cool opportunities. And thankfully, I'm still doing it, still stringing together the gigs, and that's all I can ask for. So I'm very thankful.
Now, do you make your home in New York now?
I do. I've been there for about 5.5 years.
And what's it like being a working actor in New York as opposed to Chicago? What's the difference there?
It's really competitive, I would say, is the main thing. There's just an unbelievable amount of numbers of people that are there. And it makes sense. I mean, you know, almost everything auditions in New York.
Right.
Even this job at the Marriott, they came and found me in New York. you know, even though I'm from here originally.
Right.
So it's a central location, especially if you're interested in doing musicals. And there's plenty of people around the world who, from January to March, which is probably peak audition season, move to New York for auditions. Similar to people who go to LA and
for,
you know, take their shot out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
absolutely. So it's the place to be, and as far as opportunities go, but that also means that there's more people vying for those opportunities. I think that's the big thing. But the positive side of that is that there's so much collaboration, there's so much incredible art getting made across fields. But you know, when you put that many creatives in one place, the exciting projects that come out of it are, you know, there's a plethora of them. I live with a writer friend of mine that I've been in 4 of his musicals, and I'm working on one right now with him and another really good friend of mine who lives down my street, and we're working together constantly. So the putting all the creatives in one city like that is really wonderful. And the beautiful thing is, though, you come to any city like Chicago, Pittsburgh, and there's many communities just like that. And I'm always amazed by how artists find each other and really band together to create, no matter where they are.
Now, what is it that drew you to want to play Danny Zuko in Greece at the Marriott?
Well, it's one of those dream roles. It's kind of, I would say, a pillar of American musicals.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. There's, you know, there's those movie musicals that'll be iconic forever.
Mm-hmm.
And Grease is a huge one. And as far as leading men go, you know, Danny Zuko's the one of the main ones. And I think there's a sense of just unbelievable fun that comes with Grease. It's the reason why it's such a, you know, a karaoke staple. And it's undeniable how fun the music is. And I always love when you're able to approach a role that everyone is familiar with, how you're able to subvert expectation and do your version of it. while still remaining faithful and appreciative of the Danny Zukos that have come before. That's something that always excites me. You know, the same way that when you play a Tony in West Side Story, you know, there's, what's your Tony going to be? Everyone's going to know the story. And that always excites me. And for Danny Zuko, what really excites me is how he is immature at one moment and really deep and thoughtful at others. And he's super doting and in love in one moment, but also super immature and just kind of high school, what's the word, just very back and forth and flip-floppy in other moments. And there's a lot of acting things to mine there that are fun night in and night out.
You know, I saw the production on opening night, and I caught all those nuances that you are speaking of, that you brought to the role, the immaturity one moment and the introspection the next. You really do a commanding performance. I commend you.
Thank you. That means a lot. I really appreciate that. It definitely is something that I get excited about. And I mean, it's that age, yeah? I mean,
yeah.
At 17, how many of us could be super proud of a decision we made when we were 17 and then also, you know, really wanting to throw sand over some other bad ones we've made, you know? It's an interesting time. So putting it under a microscope is quite a thing to watch and to have to deal with as an actor, as an audience member, all of it.
Now, everyone has seen the John Travolta movie of Grease. Was that film an influence on you growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think as if there's a Grease scale of like the people who watched it, you know, relentlessly time and time again, I'm probably not there. But definitely something that creeped into my social conscious of, and it's just the sense of fun and the images. I mean, the images are seared into your mind as an American. I feel like it is an American thing, Grease, and, you know, the final scene and Olivia Newton-John and all of it. It's just like, it's very iconic. And also kind of a different idea of manliness too, because Travolta's at that time such a kind of not flamboyant, but just very less macho than many of the men that had been kind of leading men before that. And I always loved that. I loved his flair, kind of his weirdness, you know. And he's also incredibly handsome, so it's like this, like he's quite a giant of cinema in that movie. And it was definitely something I was aware of, you know, and I'm such a sucker for a guy number and just, you know, getting a bunch of guys singing together. And I mean, Greased Lightning is like such an iconic moment in that movie and just these guys having fun together. And as a kid who, you know, kind of loved to sing and dance, but also loved playing, you know, football and sports and everything, like movies like that gave me permission to have fun with my friends singing and dancing as well. They kind of emboldened us and encouraged us that, like, there's multiple ways to be manly and multiple ways to have fun with a group of guys. And as someone who was, you know, doing a musical one season and then playing football the next, that was something I absolutely loved about the musicals of that time.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today I'm being joined by Jimmy Nicholas, who is currently starring as Danny Zuko in Grease at the Marriott Theatre in Lincolnshire. For ticket information, contact the Marriott Theatre box office at 847-634-0200 or go to ticketmaster.com. Now, Jimmy, is this your first time playing Danny Zuko?
Yes, it is. First time playing Danny.
How did you prepare for this role?
You know, I have a wonderful wealth of information in that I have a bunch of siblings that are just around the age that Danny is.
Oh, okay.
And spending time with them is always an interesting thing to watch when you're about to play a 17, 18-year-old kid, and especially my younger brother, Caleb. I hope you won't mind me saying that. Watching teenagers interact with each other was a huge part of my preparation. I work a lot with students of that age as well, and pulling on my experience of how they are in a group together and then remembering back what lunch table dynamics I had and even coming home and spending time with some of my friends from high school, it's interesting when you kind of remove yourself from it mentally and watch yourself in that situation, all the social dynamics that come back, and using that as a tool for how to interact with the other T-Birds, how to interact with the Pink Ladies. And that was something that I really wanted to lean on heavily, and my director encouraged Scott. He really encouraged us to find those group dynamics, both the positives and the negatives, and use that. And I personally had to make a lot of changes in how I was playing the role about halfway through the rehearsal process, because when we were looking at the social dynamic of our group on stage, we realized that Danny really needed to be an anchor. He needed to have a little bit more stillness. He needed to have a little bit more introspection, a little bit more deep thinking, because you have all of these outlandish characters around him and Sandy, that was really important to the story. So pulling from all of those things was huge for my research, and then also listening to the sights and sounds of the 50s musically, socially, all that stuff. It's a wealth of information, and so much of what those characters are was a reflection of what they were getting through pop culture, you know, James Dean, just the sights and sounds of that early rock and roll movement, the dances at the time, all of that stuff is pivotal information as you equip yourself to play a role like that.
Now, for a musical like Grease, you really have to be a triple threat. You have to sing, act, and dance. And having seen you in Grease, I can tell the audience that you are very good in all three disciplines.
Thank you.
Which is the hardest for you?
That's a great question. I think that specifically what comes with dance can be the most difficult, because each choreographer and each musical is going to require a different form of dance to tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to an instrument, you know, you can be very, very good in one field of dance and be a complete novice in another. Luckily, the style of Grease definitely plays towards how I want to dance, and you know, getting to do a ton of lifts with my partner Jessie and throw her around a lot and partner dancing. That's very much something that I love to do, you know. But if you put me in a ballet, I'll look like a toddler out there. It's not my skill set, you know, even though I have that training technically, you know. So that is something that in order to excel, you really have to be in your field of dance. And then that's what makes some dancers who can effortlessly switch from different styles so incredible to watch, because you're like, wow, it's like they can play 10 different instruments, but it's their body and it's through dance.
Right.
So that's definitely something that tests me. And as someone who does musicals, you hope that the choreographer wants to use your skill set to tell the story of how you dance. You hope those things line up. And so I've been really thankful for this show that I get to show off a little bit and, you know, do a ton of lifts and have some fun. And it's social dancing. So it's very much of finding your version of the mashed potato, your version of, you know, all of these chicken dancing, all this stuff from that time, and bringing your energy and your attitude to that dance.
Now,
which is so fun.
When you prepare for a regional show like at the Marriott, how much time do you spend in rehearsals?
You know, it depends for each project.
Mm-hmm.
Usually 2 to 3 weeks is kind of the amount of rehearsal time. And then you get into previews really quickly. Most of the time when you have a bit of a longer run, your previews are really your dress rehearsals too. So you get an audience in there when the show has just been teched and is just on its feet, because one of the most important elements is figuring out how the audience is going to interact with what you're presenting. And that can completely change a show. Not just from a timing standpoint with laughter and everything, but what they're reacting, where they're reacting, what they're following, and then probably most importantly, where their focus is. Because when you watch an audience watch a show, you can see what they're tracking, and then that changes how you stage something. So usually after 2.5 weeks, you get an audience in there and you start previews.
Now, when you take on a leading role like Elder Price or Danny Zuko, you have to do a lot of work outside of rehearsals. What is the process like for you at home when you're developing a role?
You know, it's a 24-hour process, to be honest. It's probably the part of the business that I'd say only people in the business and actors have a full grasp of, because your body is your livelihood, your health is what you are, what your livelihood is in your business. So after a show, it's rest and recovery for the next night's show. Last week I was sick, you know, and we were in previews, and that required 22 hours of work on my voice in order to prepare to be ready for curtain.
Right.
And sometimes that involves, you know, whether that's physical therapy, whether that's going, you know, and getting a massage, whether it's vocal warm-ups for an hour and then an hour and a half doing light stuff at the gym to get your body ready. It's a constant process. It's something that the best in the business are very good at it, because you have to for an 8-show-a-week schedule. But it's critical. And the reason it's necessary is because life throws a lot of different things at you that you're really not even aware of. I was just talking to a friend about how winter is such a battle for us singers, because, you know, if we weren't singing every day, we'd barely even notice that you have a bit of a cough or you're clearing your throat constantly or whatever it is. But you get in a place where you have to sing every night, and that stuff becomes just, you're hyper aware of that, because it's the obstacle that's getting in the way of you doing your job.
Right.
So that side of it can be very difficult. And, you know, sometimes it's, you have a bad back for a day, or you pull something in your hamstring or whatever. And so that requires a constant maintenance of your body. The beautiful thing is you get better and better at it. As you do it more, you get, even if you're recovering for the next night, you know how to do that well, and you're still able to live your life, which is important. Not to just constantly like live in a hut just trying to protect yourself, because life happens, and you want to be able to enjoy it while you're in the run of a show, while also taking care of yourself.
Now, anytime we're performing theater, we face the challenge of how to get excited and raise the energy level for every performance. How do you keep things fresh every night?
You know, that's a great, great question. I think the answer would be different for everyone. It's a bit hard to describe, but I'll do my best. For me personally, I don't struggle with it as much as I thought I would when I was younger. I remember having a conversation when I was a senior in college about how I'd only understand how hard it is to do a show for the 100th time when I'm doing it for the 100th time, and then I would know if that was something that I would still get excited about, if that was something I'd still be able to bring energy and nuance to. But for me, it's always really clear to understand from the moment I walk out there that most of the people in the audience have never seen what I'm about to show them, and I have a responsibility to them to give them everything I've got. And maybe it's the people pleaser Midwesterner in me, but I take that responsibility very seriously, and I love that challenge. I love it. It gets me fired up. It gets me fired up that even if it's not the freshest thing for me, it will be the freshest thing tonight for them, because they've never seen it. And it also helps you to kind of invite the audience into what you're doing, because they're the fresh thing, their eyes, their enjoyment, their watching of it. That's the fresh component every night. So when you invite them into the space and, you know, listen for how they respond, and maybe they found a different joke a little fulfilling tonight, or maybe they didn't find something funny. And so what an opportunity then to really lean into a next moment. Or maybe you feel their tension when they're watching a moment between me and Sandy, or, you know, two people on stage. That is something that I love, and that gets me energized. I also, my mom is one of the most energetic people on this planet, and so the apple doesn't fall far. She's instilled in me a constant source of energy that I am forever blessed with. So it is easier for me, I feel like, than many of my coworkers, because for some reason, thanks to genes, I'm just constantly energized by stepping out there. And I mean, you have good days and bad days, and you know, I'm the first to tell you that sometimes you're like, whoa, that one, I wasn't there for that show. But the opportunity of getting a fresh audience every night and sharing something special and new for them with them is something that energizes me personally every time.
And what's up next for Jimmy Nicholas after Greece?
Well, back to New York. There's a few different musicals that I've been in workshops in New York that we are moving on to the next steps with.
Oh, nice.
Sadly, I can't talk about them.
Okay.
Because under NDA. But lots of exciting stuff. I'm working on, one of them I can't talk about is my friends who I talked about earlier, Kyle Wilson and Sam French. We are in the process of doing another reading of their last musical that they're working on right now called Moonfaker. And then their other musical, which is called Kragtar, a monster musical, which I've been in about 4 or 5 times now. And so we are hopefully putting up Kragtar this year again, which we're really excited about. And then Moonfaker, we're moving forward with some readings and workshops to continue to fine-tune that one as well. So I'm really excited about both those projects because those are two writers to watch. Remember those names, Kyle Wilson, Sam French. They are special, special writers.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Today, my guest has been Broadway leading man Jimmy Nicholas, who is currently starring as Danny Zuko in the hit Marriott Theater production of Grease. For ticket information, call 847-634-0200. That number again is 847-634-0200, or you can go to Ticketmaster.com. Jimmy, thank you for spending some time with us today. We wish you a great run in Greece and great success with your next projects. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it, Ricky. Thank you.
All right, take care.
You as well. Bye.